Enter the world of the Find Yourself podcast, where we embark on an impressive journey through the intersection of disaster and renewal. Picture this. A giant, unstoppable boulder is barreling down, posing an immense threat not only to the physical survival, but also to the resilience of Skylar and her mother Meredith. But on the verge of hopelessness, they discover incredible strength and begin to shape their essence from it. Welcome to another exciting episode of Find Yourself the Questions podcast. I'm your host, Bernd Wensky. And in this compelling saga, we witness none other than Meredith Alexander, a devoted mother, and Skylar, her resilient daughter, confronting the shadows of adversity and fashioning new lives amidst turmoil. Their story transcends survival as they push past their limits to achieve remarkable personal and professional growth. This narrative not only motivates, but also beacons us to confront our challenges, guiding us to rediscover our true selves. Are you prepared to witness a transformation that resonates with the core of what it means to be a human? Join us on this extraordinary journey. Let's welcome Meredith Alexander, a best-selling author, powerhouse mompreneur, a top female motivational speaker. She's also a beacon of inspiration for all of us. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here with you and you wonderful listeners out there. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's our pleasure, Meredith. Let's start with the most violent event. Something happened to your daughter in 2016. Can you take us back to the moment when you received the call about your daughter's accident? How did you initially cope with such devastating news?
Sure. So it was a time in my life when I was actually starting to, ironically enough, feel a little bit of relief, because I had been for decades the single mom superhero, right? I was the breadwinner, I was mother, I was father, I was trying to be everything and then some, which of course made me feel like I was kind of, the harder I chased, the more I felt like I was failing at everything. So finally, all three of my children were, Skylar was the youngest. She had just graduated from Yale. The other two were well on their way in their professional careers. And I kind of took a breath and thought, ah, Meredith, you did it, right? And I was starting to think that maybe I could start to discover who was really me. And I was growing my business at the time and really looking very optimistically at the world ahead. And then all of a sudden, having spoken with Skylar the night before, where she had been rappelling down waterfalls and jumping from cliffs. I mean, this was a young woman who was definitely epic, right? And so the phone rang, and I will always remember that very first inhale when I picked up the phone. And it was that tiny little voice of Skylar's friend saying, I don't know how to tell you this, but Skylar's been in a terrible accident. And it was, I probably don't have to tell you, it was a whirlwind of emotions. It was almost like I split into two there was one part that was trying desperately to absorb this, what was happening. And then there was the other who was almost like watching from a distance and kind of recording this and trying to figure out what to focus on and what to make it all mean. And so for the first few hours, it was logistics, right? It was calling people, it was calling my other daughter, calling my son, calling my mother, trying to figure out where in the world in Colombia Skylar was even located. The younger woman couldn't even tell me what hospital she was at. And so it just began this kind of spin. And of course, I'm feeling just every negative emotion that you can imagine. My oldest daughter and I got ready to board a plane to head down there, and we were turned away from the airport in Tampa at first. It was American Airlines saying, "I'm sorry, it's our policy. The plane departs in 45 minutes. I know you don't have luggage, but we can't let you on the plane." So now we're driving to Miami. And it's just this combination of like silence and tears and silence and tears. And finally, I'm up in this plane. And that was really the moment when at 30,000 feet, I started to ask myself really the life-changing questions. And that was, began with, what am I going to make this mean? Because of all the terrible emotions I was feeling, feeling powerless was by far the most intense. And so it was sitting there and saying, am I going to allow this boulder to make me become the second victim of this boulder? Or was I going to preserve whatever happened, Skylar's legacy, and emerge from this kind of as the leader of Team Skylar, saying no matter what happens, I will always fulfill her legacy in the rest of my life as the mother, not of a child who was tragically killed by a boulder, but as the mother of a child who in just 22 years achieved things that most of us can't achieve in 80. So that was where really the transformation began. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned practicing mindset techniques such as challenge in such a challenging time.
Yes.
Could you elaborate on what specific techniques or practices helped you maintain positively?
Sure. So first of all, for me, mindset is a teeny tiny aspect of the inner game. The inner game to me is this beautiful whirlwind of mindset, but also energy, and what I call the epic three. It is our focus. And of course, I think maybe many of you listeners have heard the statement that what you focus on expand. That's great. However, sure, most of us do not realize what we are focusing on. Most of us are focusing on the lack of the presence of what we want versus the feeling of the presence of what we want. So if we are focusing on all the things that are missing, what is going to expand? It's all the things that are missing. It's also our language, and not just the way we communicate with each other. It's the words that we choose to use as the programming code within our own inner narrative. And that impacts our feelings, our expectations, and therefore our actions, and therefore the results. And then finally, the third of the epic three is really the imagination. Most of us give ourselves permission as adults to use the imagination almost exclusively for worry, self-doubt, and fear. And again, when we feed to those, what are we strengthening, right? Certainly not amplifying our potential. So for me, I realized as I sat on that plane that thanks to the other boulders in my life, so this was not becoming magically and mysteriously resilient in this moment, I was able to step into my resilience from having been proactively resilient from the boulders in my past. Those, it was thanks to the previous boulders that made me quest for mastery of this crazy thing called the inner game. Because as I looked and tried to answer some questions, specifically, how do some people emerge from these catastrophic moments as bigger, bolder versions of themselves, where some people are absolutely devastated and crushed, it always came back to how well they play the inner game. And so, of course, the next question was, well, how can I, a mere mortal human being, how can I do that? Are not some people maybe just born with it? And what became apparent is that these extraordinary people, they actually were just ordinary people who responded to the boulders that fell into their own lives in extraordinary ways. So therefore, it is something that we can all learn to when we put our focus that way. So what this translated to on the plane was me beginning to work on applying that and saying, okay, I need to ask some new questions, because there are three things that I learned. One, that we have to ask ourselves the question, what can I control? Clearly, I could not control the outer game, but I sure as heck could play a mean inner game. So the second question was, what can my mind believe? Because you may have heard the Henry Ford saying, you know, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. So the implication here is, if we truly want to achieve something, we darn well better get to the place where our mind can believe it. So how do we get our mind to the place where it authentically can believe the thought that energizes and empowers us? And then the third question, which I think is the most powerful of them all, is what might I be assuming that is not necessarily true? So that's really where I started. Where I started was, okay, wait a minute. The assumption is that just because medical precedent implies that when a boulder cracks open your skull, crushes your lungs, fractures your spine, fractures both scapula, snaps your right thigh, and pulverizes your left ankle, you are not going to make it. 2,000 years of medical precedent says, that is not going to happen. Well, I'm assuming that just because supposedly that is incontrovertible truth, that it must be true going forward. So I had to ask myself some questions that would help my mind authentically believe that not only was a miracle possible, but that it was probable in our case. So I started by asking myself the question, had anyone ever achieved something that everyone else said was impossible? Well, clearly that was almost laughable, because there I was on this huge tube flying through the sky at 30,000 feet. So the answer was yes. So my mind could say, oh, okay, yes, I guess it is possible. And the next question, has anyone ever seen a miracle? Well, again, of course the answer is yes. So what I began to do is ask myself questions and think thoughts that felt just a little bit more energizing, that pointed a little bit more in the direction of where I needed to go. So I was able to go from despair to a little bit of hope, then hope to a little bit of belief, and then to keep going even further, where it kind of broke through to something that felt almost like a knowing that whatever the outcome was here, we would be fine, whatever the new fine would be. And some people might call that, you know, a feeling of faith. And the moment I was able to hit that, Bernd, it was as if it started looking as if life had to conform to that vision, and things that were technically impossible began to be our reality. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's like a mind journey.
And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because most people say to me, wow, I mean, surely it must have taken you a while. I mean, it can't have happened that quickly. And I almost equate that to the business that has been working and iterating for decades, that all of a sudden pops and people say, oh my gosh, it was an overnight success. I didn't start the process, and I cannot emphasize this highly enough. I did not start the process when I got that call. My lifetime of boulders was when that process began. So I spent decades in the school, literally, of hard knocks. And so it was almost like this was my doctoral thesis, was the moment of, okay, here's the final exam here. And you will have the opportunity to apply what you have spent decades trying to understand. And so for me, like, for example, people said, how can you be so good at trying to look on the bright side? And from what I had learned, my response was always, I never try to look on the bright side. Because think about it, when you're trying to look on the bright side, where is your focus really? It's on this big looming dark side. You just don't want to see it. There would be no bright side if you didn't have this huge awareness of this, the terror of the dark side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And so what I really emphatically emphasize is that getting ready to be ready. And again, it's not like, you know, it's not intended to be like scary, because it's not just about navigating the storms. I believe you cannot miss the boat because you are the boat, but you do have to learn how to captain it. And for the most part, your voyage around the world is going to be something that's life-changing and spectacular beyond words. However, no one sails around the world without being tested to their limits with some pretty intense storms. But that's part of the passageway. That's part of being able to get to a point in your life where you look back and you know that you have lived to your fullest capacity.
Although we all try to avoid these circumstances and these difficulties and the troubles.
So funny you should mention that. So I have a wonderful metaphor, a little story that I share with my clients. And it is the story of the cows and the buffaloes. Now, I have no idea if this is really true, but the legend has it that the cows, when they spot a big looming storm coming in the distance, they pull together and they start running away from the storm. Well, inevitably, this huge storm catches up to them, and now the storm's moving in the same direction as these cows. So what happens? They've inadvertently doomed themselves to be in this, you know, the hail, the torrential rain for infinitely longer than even if they had just stood still. The buffaloes, legend has it, when they see the storm, they start charging toward the storm. And the storm still comes, and yes, they're still under the hail and the thunder, but it passes so quickly because they know that if they can temporarily endure that storm, very quickly, the blue skies, in fact, sometimes the weather on the other side of the storm is even better than the weather was before the storm. So when we can make the decision that we are either going to show up in the moment as the cow or the buffalo, and quite honestly, the buffalo is in the storm a little bit shorter, we might as well charge the storm and opt to get on with it and get to those blue skies on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Good story.
The cows and the buffaloes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Let's get to know more about Meredith. So how did your experience with your daughter's accident shape your beliefs about the potential for personal growth and resilience in the face of adversity?
So that's a fascinating question, Bern. I probably no surprise to hear that the boulder dropping into our lives has had a profound impact in so many ways on both me and Skylar. Interestingly enough, I do believe that ultimately the blessings per se, in many ways, are more abundant than the obvious challenges. Was I prepared or expected to be a 24/7 caregiver? Absolutely not. No. And when Skye was technically released from the hospital, it was only because the insurance said, oh, okay, she survived, she's good, away. And so this was a young woman who could not be left alone at all. She could not sit because her balance had been impacted. She could not be left alone to sit on a couch for me to leave the room for lest she fall. She could barely raise her arms. She could barely swallow. And so it was very challenging, to say the least. So that said, interestingly enough, though, I have a very powerful belief, Bernd. I'm a very spiritual person. And of course, I cannot begin to quote unquote prove this, but for me, it is my truth. And I believe that Skye and I have always been called almost like she is a mini me. She's the mini me version of me. We're very, very similar with just a few differences. She has typically been a bit more fearless than I have. But I believe that before our souls come onto this planet, we really are assessing what we want this particular journey to mean, what sort of impact we want to make. And sometimes we aspire to make a big impact. And in doing so, it is almost as if this larger essence that we have been a part of, that we're going to temporarily separate from, must have a tough conversation with us saying, well, look, if you want to make that much of an impact, then you're going to have to endure things that in the physical context will seem like pain and suffering, and you will not be able to inflict that upon yourself. So if this is your ask, we will be part of your given. And I believe that Skylar and I were part of a synergistic soul. And we said, yes, we want this. We want to do something really impactful. So Sky, little spirit, said she would wait for me to go onto this planet and get some of these boulders in my life. And then she would join me. And together, it would be the synergy of what she is able to accomplish, what she contributes to me having been my daughter, and then together that powerful legacy would begin to unfold thanks to the boulder. So I believe that this boulder came, one, not to destroy us, but to destroy the things that we had been allowing to hold us back. And I believe that it also didn't come to teach us about death. It came to help us understand how to choose to live so that we might discover our capacity to help share this with others so that they didn't have to be crushed by a boulder in order to learn this. And so that's why this has become not only my mission, but my passion. And as Skylar gains more physical healing, she is starting to get to the point where now she is more and more ready to join me, because she was incredibly impactful before the boulder. I mean, by 22 years old, she'd been to 5 out of the 7 continents. She had just done things to positively impact the world that most of us don't get to do in a lifetime. So she had done a lot. However, most people would look at her as this smiling 22-year-old who was going to Yale and say, well, gosh, if I was 22 years old and I was going to Yale, I would be pretty optimistic and happy too, right? However, it's much harder now to look at her still happy. Ironically enough, happiness is literally her middle name. Her middle name is Sachi, which means happiness in Japanese. She's incredibly happy. And now there's no logical reason for her to be happy, because she literally has had her life and her dreams completely disrupted by this random boulder. So it makes people think on a level, and same thing for me. People tend to have first impressions and they see my bubbly energy and think, oh my God, this woman must not have had a challenge in the world. And then when they hear the stories, hear that I was in not one, but 2 abusive relationships. I mean, I have lived, you know? And so it makes people think a little bit more about what can be possible, and to realize that sometimes when we think we can, is when we discover that we absolutely are capable of things that currently might right now feel impossible. Does that make sense?
Yep, makes sense. Get it. Your Unleash the Epic You program aims to help individuals overcome self-doubt and fear. What are some practical steps someone can take to start embracing their untapped potential?
So some of the practical steps really start, you know, I mentioned what I call the Epic 3. It's your focus. It's becoming very, very aware of your focus. What are you focused on, the presence of something or the lack of? And let me show you what that looks like. Most of us, let's say if we were sitting in a coffee shop, most of us, if the person we were with say, where do you want to be a year from now? Most of us have been trained to respond in a way that would look like, Oh my gosh, burned a year from now. I want to be doing something that I'm more passionate about. I want to be out there doing what I love, maybe working even with people that I love, and definitely making a better income. I don't want to be living where I'm living right now. Oh my gosh, you know this house. Ugh, no. A year from now, oh my gosh, I hope you see. And it's just this checklist, not of the presence of what you want at all. It's focused on this checklist of what's missing. And we, for whatever reason, have been trained to believe that somehow, by identifying it over and over and over again, is going to magically and mysteriously make the clouds part and the angels sing. And all of a sudden, boom, what we want is dropped in our lap. So then we can shift to an emotion that feels like happiness, right? And so the first practical step is really catching yourself, listening to that, and realizing that that is the wrong emotional frequency. That emotional frequency, focusing on the lack, is only going to attract a matching frequency, which is more lack, more proof that, yep, that really is not what you want. That's definitely not what you want. So it demands that we start practicing doing something new. And I equate this to almost like going into an inner game gym, right? Because at first it feels really weird to us. And we look, if you've ever walked into a gym for the first time or remember what it was like, you see all this equipment and you see all these people doing things and you're almost embarrassed. You don't know where to start, right? And so it's kind of the same way. It will feel odd, unfamiliar at first, but that's a good feeling because what it is that you truly want for most of us is often not in your familiar experience. So that means it lies in the unfamiliar. So we often mistake unfamiliar for frightening. No, it's just unfamiliar. It's not frightening. So how do you make it feel more familiar? You repeat it. So what it would look like is if you are saying to me, where do you want to be a year from now? In order for me to focus on the presence of what I want, it's less about the how to and the specifics and more about the feeling first, which then has some benefits of, oh yeah, there might be some specifics as a result of this feeling, but the specifics can change, the feeling stays solid. So it would be like, oh my gosh, a year from now, burn, a year from now, I am freaking gonna be out there living my purpose. And that purpose is going to be invigorating because every single day I'm discovering more and more facets of what's possible. I'm connecting with people who not only challenge me, but they inspire me and help me grow. I'm helping other people grow. I'm like a beacon. I am loving. I look at my bank account, and even when I'm sleeping, it is expanding. I feel so energized in my life, perhaps more energized than I've ever felt before. So you see, there's definitely, clearly a very different emotional frequency. And the more I convince my programming code that this is the normal, this is our destination, this is where we are inevitably going, the more our inner game can calibrate and say, oh, okay, I get it. I understand where we're going. Move everything else out of the way. Here's how we get there, right? So now all of a sudden we're in an emotional state where we can identify opportunities. We can make better decisions because we're feeling energized, we're feeling empowered, and we're starting to believe that our success is inevitable. I mean, I think we've all met the person who says, oh my gosh, money is so easy to come by. I mean, it's everywhere and they're abundant. And the other people are kind of scratching their heads going, I just don't see it. right? I don't see it, but it's just, it's almost as if, well, money has to be there for them because of their perspective. Same thing, the people who are like, oh my gosh, relationships are just so easy for me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense?
And to reach that point, we need to challenge ourselves and get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny you should use the word challenge. Another like very specific thing I would say that people should become aware of is their language and their word choices. Now, when you use that word challenge, it's actually in a context that is potentially curiosity invoking and expansive and really, you know, a great thing. A lot of people, when they come to me, the context that they use that word is, oh my gosh, my biggest challenge right now is simply getting out of my own way. My biggest challenge is finding more confidence. I've taken so many hits and I've done a lot, but I never seem to make progress. So it's this heavy, heavy challenge. So here's the thing about our language. Our words are symptomatic of what we're feeling and how we are viewing the world and what our focus is and what we're making it mean. So in that context, the word challenge comes with a whole abundance of invisible stories. I mean, back to the time when we are trying to learn to ride a bike and we fell off like what felt like 20 gazillion times before we finally figured it out, right? So challenge can feel impossible. It is a word that is demotivating in that context. But then when we amplify it by saying big est, well, what does the word big est imply? That you've got more than one challenge. This just happens to be the biggest. So guess what? You solve this one and there's a whole line of challenges waiting right behind that one. So it feels like, oh my gosh, the impossibility factor just went up even higher. And then most of us don't say the biggest challenge. They say my biggest challenge, which so now it becomes a part of your identity. So two eyes, nose, mouth, and this big challenge. Therefore, you walk into a room filled with opportunities, but the moment someone says something, your mind says, oh yeah, remember, you have problems really getting clarity. Yeah, you have problem figuring out what you want to do next. So maybe the time isn't right. Maybe you don't have enough, maybe this is too risky. Maybe, lots of buts here. However, the most powerful word in that statement is actually none of those words. It's one that goes under the radar, which is the word is. Because in English anyway, is present tense. And we never, never make a present tense statement that we do not believe is fact. Present tense statement is reserved exclusively for things that we believe are truth, which means that any statement that we make in the present tense goes into our subconscious as programming code. So when we say my
same
biggest
class in German.
Yes. So we are like, and even in English, one of our big, like, don't try to argue with me statements is it is what it is, right? And so here's the thing, going back to those three questions, what can my mind believe? Your mind has to be able to believe it. So I'm not saying that, let's say you feel like your biggest challenge is money. I am not saying that you necessarily go in the mirror and do an affirmation that says, I am a money magnet, because your mind, most people's minds will immediately come in and go, have you looked at your bank account recently, right? And so it's kind of like busted our lack of trust in ourselves. So what we need to do is realize, going to the third question, what am I assuming that is not necessarily true? And that is that that one version of truth is the only version of truth. So, okay, it may feel true that you have this challenge, but that's not the only version. Isn't it true to say my biggest focus right now is figuring out how to get more confidence? How can I build my confidence so I can go on and do the things I know I'm capable of doing? Or even better, my biggest commitment right now is to finally find my confidence, go on, identify the things that are important to me, and go out there and make a powerful impact on the world. That can feel true as well. And that's far more empowering, far more energizing. So if you are listening to this, what I would encourage you to do is become hyper aware of your present tense statements. And as you become aware of something that makes you feel heavy as opposed to energized, ask yourself the question, how can I change this? How can I go from a challenge to my biggest commitment, my biggest opportunity, what I'm really excited to focus on right now is? And as you change the narrative inside your mind, you will start to see your results change.
We live in the now.
Yes. 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 The now, we are not trying to fix the past. We are committed to creating a compelling present so that we can create an even more compelling future, in my humble perspective.
We know about the importance of consistent learning and training with thought leaders. Could you share some key lessons or practices you've learned along your personal development journey?
Sure, absolutely. So in addition to some of the ones that I mentioned, one thing I think that is really important in the formula that I share with clients, most of whom come to me saying that they are stuck, and yet they have this huge fear of looking back at their life feeling like they never truly lived. And so we need to get beyond that. There are three elements of that. The first is, and this one people tend to skip over a lot, it's that identification piece. It's assuming that just because you knew who you were even a year ago does not mean you're in touch accurately with who you are today. Most people tend to really lean into their flaws at the expense of their flow. So the first piece is really that identification piece. And as part of that, not only understanding where you are, but who you are, it's also really taking a look at what I call your personal empowerment system. What tends to be in place that you can control? I call them your positive triggers. What positive triggers can you control that make it easier to show up at your best in all different kind of aspects of your life? And it's almost like creating, when I do it with my clients, it's almost like creating a care and feeding manual, so that you not only can have it very clear for yourself and realize how much you can control, but also the significant people in your life, you can share some of this with them. And which means that, for example, if you are your absolute most creative in the morning hours, and you can share with them, you know, my passion, my work demands that I tap into my creativity when it is at its peak, So I love you. And yet, if I opt not to have breakfast with you, this is not because I don't love you. It's because this, I am at my best. And therefore, I'm at my best in this relationship when I've been able to outpour my creativity, which happens in the morning. And so the significant people in our life can understand, oh, yes, we want the best of each other in this relationship. So the care and feeding manual, understanding not only where you are, but who you are, that has been incredibly, incredibly valuable to me. And then all many, many, many of the recalibration pieces, working through where we are showing up, believing that it's normal to be our own worst enemy. And that really comes down again to those three masteries that I wrote about in my 100 Days of Epic book: your focus, your language, your imagination, and understanding that fear is just a story. Fear is not danger. Sometimes danger causes fear, but more often than not, fear is just a story that your mind, your imagination, is making up about something that has not happened and that probably never will happen. And even if it were to happen, probably wouldn't quite be so bad. So it really revolves around recalibrating and learning how our thoughts, our inner narrative, often determines how we experience our life. So as we, and this is just, you know, 100 days, and it's gamified the whole night. It's at one practice for every single day, revolving around focus, language, and imagination. And when you will invest in that, it really starts to captain the boat in a completely different sort of way.
How do you suggest individuals maintain momentum and motivation when working towards their goals, especially during challenging times?
So a couple of things. One, I believe that we have one goal and one goal only, and that is to be taking our last breath saying, oh my gosh, this was freaking epic. I hope I get the chance to do this again. Anything else before that is either an objective, an opportunity, a possibility, a target. Because here's the thing about goals, Bernd, is when the moment we set a goal, it's almost like we are like the two children in the back seat. We're constantly saying, am I there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So every morning when we wake up, one of the first questions is, have we solved this yet? Are we there yet? And the answer is typically no, right? We're not there yet. And so it's an immediate like hit. It's a momentum killer, as opposed to by simply shifting and saying, okay, what's my next target? And how can I play in pursuit of this target? And maybe I'll hit that target and then some, so that I can really view this more as a flow than a series of detached destinations. Because when it's a goal, also when you hit the goal, most people, there's a moment of like, yay, we hit the goal. Oh, okay. So now I guess we have to set another goal. So it's not fluid at all. So if you find yourself constantly feeling like stuck and demotivated, procrastinating, chances are that it starts, the shift starts with the words that you're, the labels that you are giving to these pursuits to these opportunities, instead of it being like the child who says, oh my gosh, that game was so much fun. What do you want to do now? It doesn't make the other game any less, but it kind of continues the play and looks at this as this is all flowing toward the objective of getting to some point, we don't know when it's going to be, that we're taking our last breath going, oh my gosh, that was, again, that was epic, right? And I can honestly look back and say, I truly lived. And it also gives you permission to iterate along the way and to expect to iterate. So it's not like I have this goal and if I, you know, I don't know who I am if I don't hit this goal. I'm defining myself by the goal. I am, the goal is me. It is a reflection on me. I am no one if I don't hit this goal. It's like, no, this is a target. This is an objective. And oh, new data. Okay, I'm going to iterate a little bit. In fact, I may say, you know what? Now that I see this target and I've explored this target, I played with a little bit. Nah, I'm going to put that aside. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sounds good. What advice would you give to our listeners who may be feeling stuck and facing their own impossible boulders in life? How can they start cultivating a mindset of resilience and empowerment?
So first thing I would say is one of the biggest things that I have learned is that epic usually arrives disguised looking like the impossible. And the key is even in the word boulder itself, the you, when you take you out of the equation, in other words, when you are willing to thank the old approach, but maybe realize what's been working, what hasn't been working, what you might want to try doing differently, and kind of set that aside, when you get out of your own way, then and only then are you free to become that bolder version of yourself. And the difference between the impossible and the I'm possible is a tiny, tiny little shift. And it always begins in the inner game. And it is, if you are feeling stuck, it is reconnecting with who you are, not just where you are. What are you passionate about? And you may have to get people to help you, because most of us, this is why to really accelerate. I mean, I'm in the business of amplifying people's potential. That means helping them identify that potential sometime, clean up what's been getting in the way of that potential, and then accelerating that potential, creating that strategy. So it, I will tell you, after having coached hundreds of people, it's, some of this stuff is virtually impossible to do on our own, unless you're willing to gamble that maybe if you live to be in your late 80s or 90s, you might start to get a glimmer of it. If you want to experience it sooner than that, it calls for a little bit of humility, and that, you know, understanding that even Einstein said you cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created that problem. So there's a reason there are more than one person on this planet. So learn from the specialists in whatever area you hope to pursue, or model people. Even if you are a groundbreaker, you're an innovator, it's never been done before. Well, there are other people who have been innovators. What did they do? Find a mentor, find a coach, find a trainer, find people who know, who can help you. Because when I've worked with people, even asking people, what do you love? What are you passionate about? Most people come back to me, struggle to even have five or six things. And these are people who are well into life, and that's all they think, that's the end of the story. So they need me to help them extract things from that blind spot. So really commit to figuring out first and foremost to do a recheck of who are you now. And then from there, you can learn what you need to clean up. Again, highly encourage you to find someone who can help you with that. And then you can focus on the outer game. You can focus on those skills. You can focus on those hacks, those little tricks that will help you move forward. So first and foremost, it's understanding who you are and then being willing to go from there. So, oh my gosh, Bernd, this has been amazing. And listeners, if you are not already a regular for this podcast, I would encourage you to keep listening because the things that are being shared here are so valuable and will help you go out and live that most epic version of yourself. If you want to stay in contact with me, I would love that. You can find me all over social media, and it's Meredith with two I's, M-E-R-I-D-I-T-H, Meredith Alexander. Also, you can find my two books, The Sky is the Limit, which is all about the actual post that I posted with when the boulder hit Skylar, and then, of course, The 100 Days of Epic, which actually have that one piece in the formula in a 100-day format. And if you are really stuck and you feel like you need some help, you need to brainstorm, then go to my website, gritmindsetacademy.com, and you will see that you can set up a 20-minute session where we will go through some things. And if I can help you, I will help you, point you in the right direction, or we'll see even how we can go a little bit deeper.
Meredith, thank you for taking us on this personal journey. I'm confident that your thinking strategies and practical advice have resonated with listeners seeking personal growth and overcoming obstacles.
It was amazing to be here, Bernd. And I will say to you, if you are listening to this podcast and you can think of someone who you know would benefit from this, please go ahead and share this and subscribe to Bernd's podcast, because yes, this kind of content is so powerful and can be so life-changing. I just can't encourage you enough to fill your mind space with these positive sort of inspiring ideas versus things that make you feel small.
Yeah. Thanks for being our guest. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. And I know, Bernd, you're going to drop in the notes how to contact me, how to stay in touch. And of course, you'll find me all over social media. Remember, it's Meredith with two I's. So M-E-R-I-D-I-T-H Alexander. And then of course, if you're interested in more ideas, feel free to go to my website, which is gritmindsetacademy.com, or take a look at my two books on Amazon.
So if our listeners ever feel stuck in their journey, battling self-doubt, struggling to unleash their full potential, Meredith will give you some advice and help you to embark on a transformative experience.
Absolutely. And seriously, if you are feeling stuck, as a listener of Bernd's podcast, I will share with you my super secret little link, which is bit.ly/goepicnow. That's bit.ly/goepicnow. Each of the words are capitalized. And that will allow you to schedule a 20-minute brainstorming session with me. And I literally will help you go through the process of figuring out what's working, what maybe is not working, what you'd like to see differently. And if I can help you, I will share with you how I think we could move forward. If I don't feel like I'm exactly exactly the one to help you. I will point you in any direction that I can think of that will help you accelerate, because it's all about, I believe, spending more time where you really feel like you're making that progress. And the way you go further faster is in the context of others. Personal growth is not a solo sport by any means. So yes, reach out to me.
I will put the link in the show notes, and I can tell everybody, if you ever dream of launching a successful business, travel the world, leave a powerful legacy, Meredith's insights and coaching can propel towards your goals with unwavering confidence and clarity.
I would love it. So once again, thank you all for listening, Bern. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on your epic podcast.
Okay, until next time, dear listeners, remember, the path to greatness begins with a single step, and with the right mindset, anything is possible. Stay tuned for more empowering conversations on the Find Yourself the Questions podcast. Goodbye for now, and remember always to embrace the epic within you. I hope this episode inspired you to ask questions and discover yourself. Join us tomorrow for more insight questions, and next month for inspirational discussions on your path to personal growth and happiness. Maybe you're just a question away from your best year.
Love
Thanks
it.
A lot.